Hello and welcome to the Campaign Podcast. I'm Imogen Watson, Work and Inspiration Editor. For today's episode, we'll discuss a trio of features published last week that looked at creative partnerships with Matt Barker, Campaign's Features Editor, and Charlotte Rawlings, Campaign's Reporter. The first of the three features looked at issues around creative partnerships, the second focused on relationships between creative and strategy departments, and the third focused on lone creatives. Hello to you both. Charlotte, what made you want to write about creative partnerships, and did you find anything surprising when chatting with these creatives?
Yeah, so when I started that Campaign, I was completely new to the industry. And when I realised that creatives always work in pairs, I found that quite a nice dynamic, and it was one I hadn't heard of before in any other industry. So from that perspective, it's quite unique, and I thought, you know, there's got to be something about this that I can dig into at some point. And then when I got to talking to more and more creatives, the way they spoke about each other could like easily be mistaken for the way they'd speak about their romantic partner. And I just thought there's something quite endearing about that kind of professional partnership, and like, I bet there's some fun stories to it as well. In terms of what I found surprising was just how close these relationships can become. Like, the number of creatives that I've met who have lived together at some point while they've worked together, like, that really surprised me. And then there's the creatives who are professional partners as well as romantic partners, which is a whole different kettle of fish. Like, I can't even begin to imagine how that must be. I think it is impressive to tolerate someone's company for that much of your... That is literally 24/7, isn't it?
Can't get away.
No. Could you tolerate your partner's company for 24/7, Matt?
My work partner or my romantic partner?
I know you couldn't tolerate any of your work partners for that 24/7, but your actual partner for 24/7.
Of course I could. She's probably listening.
She listens.
She does occasionally.
Aww.
Yeah. Can't get enough. You spoke to Mike Sutherland and Ant Nelson, Executive Creative Directors of Adam and Eve DDB, about their 25-year partnership. 25 years is a long time. Did they provide any words of wisdom?
So Mike and Ant probably won't like me making this comparison, but they've been working together since 1998. I was born in 1998, so yeah. they've been working together for as long as I've been alive. But they said there isn't a perfect formula for keeping this kind of partnership going. But they mentioned three things that help, which is respect. So obviously respecting each other's ideas and also their home life. So like what if one of them can't make it into work for some reason, or if the other has to leave work early for another reason, you know, just respecting that. The next was having similar work ethic. So this kind of follows on from respect in that they take on equal amounts of the work and support each other through all of their work. Because I'm just thinking that one of the main reasons I wanted to explore this was because I absolutely loathed group work at school, because I, not to toot my own horn, but I was a bit of a try-hard and I just wanted to like always crack on with the work. But there was, you know, there's always someone who's not pulling their weight and that would really annoy me. So I can imagine that's probably not the case when you're in a paid job and, you know, it's different when you're at school. But, you know, how annoying would it be if you worked with someone, you know, every 5 days a week and they weren't, you know, pulling their weight? So I can imagine that's probably a very important one. And then finally, creative ambition. So they stressed how important it was that they both have the same goals when it comes to making their work. And they might not have the same ideas and they might not agree on the same ideas, but they both want to achieve the same things.
Your piece also explores what happens when the creatives break up. Are there any stories of heartbreak in it?
Yeah, so a couple. I'd like, you know, that's the thing, another thing that I wanted to explore, because obviously you can get some really, really lovely stories and stories of friendship that can go all the way back to the days of college or uni. And then, you know, circumstances change, much like real romantic partnerships. You know, things change in life and sometimes circumstances mean that you can't, you know, work together anymore. And that's kind of the sort of thing that I explored in the piece. So I spoke to Jo Moore, who is Executive Creative Director at House 337, about her partnership with Simon Robinson. They worked together for 30 years. And Moore said that she knew him better than her romantic partner. And sadly, their partnership had to come to an end when Robinson was made redundant during the pandemic. So that was a purely circumstantial breakup. But she felt a lot of sadness when it happened. And she also described it as, you know, their relationship having a lot of love but also a lot of heartache. So that's how the piece gets its headline. So Imogen, your piece also looked at a dynamic. The dynamic was strategists and creatives.
Which I thought was an interesting topic to tackle, because I always assumed that creatives, sorry any strategists listening to this, but the creatives are kind of doing the fun stuff and the strategists are maybe a bit more seaty, yeah. I don't know. You know.
Spreadsheets.
I think that's why there's always been a bit of teething pains from the sort of beginning of, there was planners and strategists after that. And I think the case is that strategists were always closer to the clients. So they're the ones that sort of reel in the creatives from having all the fun they really, really want to have. But largely, I think over years, creatives have sort of began trusting strategists and understanding that they need them to be able to create great work. And what I sort of uncovered was the fact that good agencies have figured out better ways of bringing those two together.
What are the ways that they're bringing these two things together then?
Historically, the brief would always come in and the strategist would sort of jump on it and work on it and then hand it over to the creatives. And I think agencies are getting a lot better at working together throughout the brief or throughout the pitch, for example, and sort of bouncing back and forth, having meetings together. I know that Vicky Maguire, the chief creative officer at Havas London, she sits next to Britt Everson, who's the chief strategy officer. So they literally sit side by side and bounce off each other. So it's before it would be like different floors, you know, sometimes. And some agencies still work that way. For Saatchi & Saatchi, they have the squad system. So they put strategy and creativity together in squads and teams, and then they work on it when it work comes in. So just finding better ways for working together on things. Before we continue, a quick word from one of our sister titles.
Sorry to disturb your podcast. I'm John Harrington, editor of PR Week UK. Anyone interested in the worlds of PR, communications and reputation management should check out Beyond the Noise, the podcast series from PR Week. Each episode tackles a big issue in comms, whether that's the latest corporate crisis, issues around client-agency relationships, or what's next for AI in PR. We also have an offshoot called Noise in Brief, which delves into the news in a bite-sized format. So check out Beyond the Noise wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt, you wrote about collective thinking and the death of Don Draper. Are lone creatives still a thing?
This is all prompted in part by a book that came out last year by Samuel Franklin, who's a cultural historian, who's also a professor. I think it's at Delft University. He wrote a book called The Culture of Creativity, and I had a chat with him. And one of his main points was about brainstorming and his whole idea of kind of collective thinking and how it doesn't really work. I think there's one point in his book where he says the only thing that came out of it was Pringles, which I think is not a bad return, actually. But he was, yeah, it basically looked at how in the 50s, 40s and 50s, brainstorm definitely became a real sort of strategy in Madison Avenue, sort of peak Mad Men era. And so from that, I started looking at this whole mandate of people having to return to offices and how one of the major sort of arguments for that was the fact that we can now sort of bounce ideas around and we'll be in person and we won't be trying to do stuff over Zoom and all this sort of thing. But there are still people who like working, to all intents and purposes, alone. I spoke to Ben DaCosta, who's the former chief creative officer. He's now freelancing, and he was very much in that camp that he likes working alone. Or as I kind of stressed in the piece, it's actually about thinking alone. So he doesn't mind the idea of coming to a table with ideas, but he likes having a formulated idea to come to the table with, rather than sitting in a room with people and hoping that everyone's got the same energy levels, the same understanding of the brief, the same same everything, really. They can work in partnership, because that's not always the case, as we all know from other walks of life, not just in advertising. So I spoke to Ben. He had some really interesting points to say about there's no real set formula to these things. He did some horror story. He told me that a friend of his who remained anonymous working for an agency that remains anonymous was basically told, okay, from 11 till 12, we're going to think about this. And then from 1 to 2, we're going to think about this, you know, and this kind of set compartmentalizing that, you know, you can sort of come up with ideas to order kind of goes against the grain of what creativity is or what it should be. also spoke to Tom Bender, who's executive creative director at Mother, and he was really interesting because he talks about at Mother they have creative reviews, which is kind of, it nuances the original kind of template of brainstorming, that again you come up with an idea, but it's a formulated idea and you share it with others and see what they think. And he was saying not a lot of people to begin with like that idea. They were a bit sort of shy, but they get into it and they kind of embrace the concept a lot more. And it works well for Mother. They were talking about the Uber campaigns from last year. A lot of that sort of came from these creative reviews ideas.
I'd hate that personally. It's a good thing I don't work at Mother. I'm sure it's really effective because those are the sort of people that are, you know, good at that stuff, but the idea of like having to come up with an idea, so they come up with the idea on their own
pretty much. Yeah, and I mean again there's no set and false rule, but you could conceivably, and a lot of people do, say, you know, because it's like Benton, I can have an idea at 11 o'clock at night. It's not a 9-to-5 job, so you know, he somebody could come into work the following day and say, look, I've got this great idea for a campaign.
And they share it with the group.
And they'll share it with the group. The concept is that the idea is there already, rather than it's not going to be kind of grasped out of the ether during a brainstorming session.
I dream ideas.
Well, there you go.
You do.
I dreamt about an intro I was needed to do for a panel.
Excellent stuff. I mean, and there was, I'd say, some really interesting points there, and Tom... I like what he had to say towards the end, some sort of, it's not really a spoiler alert, is it? But he basically said, having a bunch of really clever people working together for a greater goal, that's the product you offer, and you being the agency, which I think is true, because the other thing, of course, is would clients trust a lone creative? They'd be like, well, surely you've got other people. Have you not bounced this one around? This feels like a first draft or whatever, you know.
I think that's all we have time for. So thank you both for talking about your features today. If you'd like to learn more about what we've been discussing, then please visit our website, campaignlive.co.uk, where you'll find details of our subscriptions, just add /membership. If you enjoyed this episode of the Campaign Podcast, please follow us, like us, and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. A big thank you to Haymarket Studio Manager Nav Powell and producer Till Owen. And thank you for listening. I hope you'll join us next time.